we are, what are we involved in. There is the presence of the Lord. And again, we say in his presence is the fullness of joy. Amen. Jesus makes here an interesting observation. And we would do well to critically take heed to what he has said. Notice he says in verse 31, if ye, now this is conditional, if ye continue in my word, then, and so it's contingent upon the continuing in the word to be his disciple. Do y'all see that? Then are ye my disciples indeed, or truly you are my disciples. Amen. But he says that to the Jews, which the scripture, I had you to take note, which believed on him. Now, those, the Jews who believed on him, those who had made a formal profession of faith. But you know, if you look at the words here, it tells us that though they made a profession of faith, they were not true believers. Amen. We can find that in verse 33 and verse 37. Notice he says in verse 33, he says to them, they said, we are Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus speaks to them. He answers and said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. But then take note, he says in verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Y'all see that? My word has no place in you. And so these people were merely professors. They were not possessors. And unfortunately, you've got a lot of folk that's part of congregations that are professors, but they are not possessors. Amen. When the word dwells richly in you, it changes the way you act. It changes your conversation. It changes the folk that you hang around with. Amen, 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 amen. Too oft times we fail to recognize that those folk that we hang with will determine who we are. I'm not going to go there. But when we understand, the Lord tells us that we are to make disciples. Now, what he does not say is not make converts. He doesn't say make Christians. Amen. We cannot look at immature Christians and say that they are the followers of Christ. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Come on, Pastor. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verses 1 through 3. The apostle writes, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Are y'all reading this? But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you, and he goes on to talk about the things that would indicate that they are still immature Christians. But I find it interesting that Paul addresses them in chapter 1. He says to them, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. He said, you're saints, but you're immature. You're saints, but you need to grow up. And unfortunately, there are a lot of folk that need to grow up and be all that God has ordained for you to be. Amen, amen. When we understand that disciple making must be at the heart of the church, and we want that for the church that is at Friendship.
Amen.
Amen. That we would be word-oriented people.
Amen.
One of the problems that you have in any church, as was in Corinth there, that they were not word-oriented. And when you're not word-oriented, you start thinking that what you think is good enough. Well, the ways of a man is always right in his own eyesight. Amen. If you ask the person what's right, they'll tell you what they think is right. But, amen, right and truth is what Jesus says is truth. Amen. Not what Amos says, not what any of these preachers necessarily say. But if they're telling you what God says, then you can stand in truth. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Disciple making must be at the heart of the church. And it is the commanded product of the church. It is a fruit-bearing believer that is called a disciple. When you, amen, have the finished product is a disciple.
Amen.
Not a convert, but a disciple. Amen. And let me tell you this, my brothers and sisters. Disciples reproduce themselves. Disciples reproduce themselves. Amen. The disciple-making pastor must teach the obedient church to fulfill the Great Commission. When we fulfill the Great Commission, amen, we go out with number one, go, amen, make disciples, and then we disciple those disciples, and then those disciples will go out and reach out to other disciples. Amen. And see, when we are not involved in mission, we really are not carrying out the Great Commission. When we're not telling people about the goodness of the Lord and God came that they would have life and that life more abundantly, we are missing part of our function. Hallelujah. Amen. But let me tell you about obedience. Obedience requires a commitment to reproduction. Amen. You got to stand on the word that when I tell you, then you tell somebody else.
Amen.
Amen. Don't sit on it. Share it. Amen. Tell folk that God loves them. And God loves them right where they are. But God loves them too much to leave them where they are. God wants some better things for all of us. Amen. Never get complacent and think you've arrived, for we're moving from grace to grace. God is making us better today than we were yesterday. I'm better able to stand something today than I was on yesterday. Amen. In my immaturity on yesterday, when you said something to me, I might have said something back to you. Amen. But when you become mature in the Lord, amen, the words become like water on a duck's back. Amen. Now, you can't define me by your words. It's the words of Jesus that defines me. And Jesus says, I'm somebody. Why? Because I'm made in the likeness and image of him. And the last time I checked, he never made any junk. Amen. Some of us feel like we're not that much. When God made you and breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, you became somebody. Amen. Now live up to what God has ordained for you to be. Amen. Too oft times we want to live down, amen, to where everybody else is. Amen. If you find that you are soaring with the eagles, stay with the eagles. Anybody can pluck in the dirt with chickens. Amen, amen. You didn't come by to be a chicken. Amen. We want to soar with the eagles. When we understand that obedience requires a commitment to reproduction, this is the realization then that the church exists for mission. Amen. The church, please get this, the church does not exist for itself. Amen. Some folk are just satisfied right where they are. Amen. We come and we do our little thing. We sing and we shout, but we want to keep it closed because we don't want to let anybody else in. Amen. Amen. You won't take my place. Amen. Let me tell you something. If somebody took your place, you didn't have a place. Amen. 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 Folk can't take from you that belongs to you. Now, there are some things that I really want us to understand. The church does not exist for itself. Notice what Jesus says. He says, if you continue in my word. Now, here's the presupposition that you are being taught his word. Please understand, my brothers and sisters, we need to know his word. What does he say? Amen. Not what someone said he says, but that's why Paul says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, one who can rightly, and if you can rightly, you can wrongly. Amen. But you rightly divide the word of truth. And then Jesus adds to that, and ye shall know the truth. But how do I know the truth? Because I'm in his word. Now I got to tell you that if you know the word, you know truth. Because truth, grace, and truth came by Jesus Christ. If you want to know what truth is, look to Jesus. He is the embodiment of truth. Hallelujah. Amen. When we look at John 15, amen, Jesus describes a disciple much like what Paul does in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, he describes love. He does not define it. In verses 7 through 17 in John 15, amen, Jesus describes a disciple. He does not define him necessarily. But there are some things that I want you to see in that it applies to a person who says that he is a disciple of the living God. Are you at John 15? Yes, sir. Amen. John 15, verse number 7. Amen. The disciple abides in Jesus. Amen. You can't be in and out. Amen. You can't be, who was it, Johnny Taylor? Can't be a part-time lover? I want to reach somebody here. Amen. The Lord is looking for commitment. Amen. He wants you to be committed to him. So you must abide in him. Now, for those who are not biblically oriented, abide means to stay in him. Amen. Abide in him. When you abide in him, then he says in verse 7, the word that abide in you, then you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Don't you know, my brothers and sisters, we're living beneath where God has ordained for us to be. When you look into his word, and God said, if you abide in me, you keep my words in you, you can ask what you will. Well, if the words are abiding in you, you're not going to ask amiss. You know what God wants for you, and you know how to ask that God has for you. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. Amen. Number two, amen, verse 8. Amen. A disciple, amen, bears much fruit. Not just fruit, much fruit. Are you seeing this? Amen. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Amen. The disciple will bear fruit. Amen. And what you are ought to reflect who you are. Amen. Somebody not getting that. Amen. What you are ought to reflect who you are. Amen. 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 You know, all of my children look just like me. They're all Joneses. Amen. And they reflect me in their mannerisms, in the way they talk. Amen. We ought to reflect the Heavenly Father whose image we have, and who indwells us. When I have God in me, it's hard for me to act a fool, because the God that's in me constrains me. He causes me to act like him. Oh, you're not getting that. Amen. Verse number 8 again. A disciple glorifies God. Herein is my Father glorified. How am I glorified? I bear fruit to the glorification of the Father. When we glorify God, amen, we realize it's not all about us. Amen, amen. It's all about him. When we come together collectively to lift up his name, he will get the glory. And he said, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. But we need to lift him up. Amen. I don't know about your God, but my God is the one that Isaiah saw. When Isaiah saw him, he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Amen. For some of us, our God is too small. Amen. Amen. You know, it's interesting. And if I might digress for just a minute, Brother Bruce, I heard during the confirmation hearing about her truth. Her truth. And which implies that there's more than the truth. But I stopped by to tell you, there's only the truth. Yeah, there's only the truth. If we can understand what truth is, and the only way I can know truth is I need to know Jesus. Amen, amen. That's some things that seem right, seem to make sense. But if it's not his truth, then it is not truth. But when we employ his truth, amen. So we need to understand glorifying God. And I tell the members of Friendship all of the time, if what you say does not glorify God, does not edify man, perhaps you ought not say it. I'm walking too hard for some folk. They don't get it. Amen. You know, we have a tendency to want to talk. And it's all right to talk if you talk about the right thing. Amen. Christians talk about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for us. Amen. Did he wake you up this morning? Amen. Tell somebody, the Lord woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. Amen. He blessed me in going in and he blessed me coming out. I can tell somebody that. I don't need to talk about folk. Amen. You look at them and you make your own determination. Amen. Amen. But when I understand that what I say ought to glorify God, or it ought to edify the brothers or the sisters, then we're on the right track. We're a disciple of the living God. And then also in John 15, amen, verses 10 through 12, amen, a disciple is one who is obedient. Look at this. Look at it. If conditional, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Part of the problem that we have, we can't stay committed because we don't have a joy. Amen. This becomes laborious. You know, when you come to church and you define coming to church as I got to go, you got a problem. this is too much for some folk. They don't get it. Amen. I got to go to church. No, I don't got to go. I want to go. Amen. I was glad. I joined with David, who said, I was glad when they let us go into the house of the Lord. When I come to the Lord's house, amen, I get happy out there on the parking lot. Amen. Amen. When I come into the presence of God, amen, I start getting a bad case of the I can't help it. Amen. I start shaking and twitching, and I want to wave my hands and praise the Lord, because God is a good God, worthy to be praised. Amen. Some of us don't know how to praise him. Amen. Amen. But if you really have had some some involvement with the Lord, and you know it was the Lord, amen, you're able to say, as David said, if it had not been for the Lord who was. Yeah. Amen. Folk want to give credit to everybody but the Lord. But let me tell you something, folk. It was the Lord who woke you up this morning. As you travel down 59/69, it was the Lord who did it. Amen. When you were lying on your bed of affliction and you were raised up, amen, the Lord did it. He might have used the doctors and skills, but the Lord did it. When I start realizing what the Lord has done, amen, I get happy all over, which really is my fifth point there, that a disciple ought to have joy. Amen. Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Amen. If you're not full of joy, amen. If you don't come into the Lord's house with a smile on your face, amen, you're missing something. Amen. The joy of the Lord will give you a smile when things are not going well. Amen. The joy of the Lord will make everything compatible. Amen. He'll allow you to go through things with the joy of the Lord, because you never lose hope. You know that if God is on the throne, everything is well. Amen. See, some folk don't realize that all of our help comes from the Lord. Amen. My help does not come from Washington, D.C. Amen. My help is not confined to the inner loop in Washington, but my help comes when I can understand, Lord, thank you. Amen. I have to say thank you. Amen. Some folk reluctantly thank the Lord, and they restrict it to Thanksgiving. But I thank the Lord every moment of every day. Lord, thank you. Amen. Amen. I told them earlier that with the fractured wrist, I had to do everything with one hand. Well, you know what the Lord did? Now the cast is gone. Now I've got a brace. A few more days, the brace will be gone, and I'm going to be all right. I told you, God is a good God. God shows you that I'm able to keep you in whatever circumstance you find yourself. Amen. It's not you, but it's me working through you. See, some of us really believe it's all about us and in our human capacity. But let me tell you, it's not about human capacity at all. The Lord comes in and his strength becomes our strength. Amen. When we want to glorify him, amen, the Lord comes in and gives you, as I said, a bad case of the I can't help it. Somebody said one thing about Baptist preachers, they're too emotional. No, we're not too emotional. We're just very thankful. Amen. We know what the Lord has done for us. See, some people can critically analyze and tell you what somebody else has said about Scripture. But when you have lived it, when God has blessed you, amen, when God has done what no other could do for you, then you got to give him the praise. Amen. I tell folk all the time, the Lord bought us from the back of the bus, the top of the train, top of the theater. Now he set us among princes. I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. In the midst of everything, God, you're a good God, and you're worthy to be praised. Amen. But that the last point in that, amen, in John 15, verse numbers 12 and 13, amen, a disciple loves like Jesus loves, and that's unconditionally. Amen. Unconditionally. Amen. You might do some things that I don't like, but I still love you. Amen. Amen. See, folk believe that people are what they do. Not all the time. Amen. People do dumb things. The fact, a lot of us have done some dumb things. Does that make you dumb? No, it makes you a person who did a dumb thing. But God loves us irrespective of what we've done. Amen. God loved us enough to send his son while we were yet sinners. If he loved me while I was a sinner, how much does he love me now? Amen. If you don't know how to love unconditionally, look at Jesus. Amen. We were not getting better when he died on the cross. Amen. If we were getting better and showed some promise, I could say, well, maybe that's why he would die for me, because he saw that, the possibility. But he says, I died for you, now be all that I have ordained for you to be. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus' definition of a disciple is one of observable evidence. In Luke 9:23-25, a disciple is willing to deny himself. He will take up his cross and follow Jesus daily. In Luke 14:25-35, a disciple puts Christ before self, before family, and before possessions. Isn't it amazing that, and I listen at folk, and when things are more important than God, you have an issue. Talk to me, somebody. Amen. Whether you're driving, amen, a Rolls Royce or a Hyundai, if God is God, then you ought to praise him for whatever he's done for you. Amen. God is good, because the Hyundai will get you just where? Just not as fast and not in the same class. Hallelujah. In John 8:31, a disciple is committed to Christ's teaching. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, and I'm almost there. We need to understand that you can't lay hold on all that God has to say to you just coming to morning worship. No, somebody going to throw a brick at me. You need to involve yourself in some teaching sessions. You need to be taught the infallible word of God. Amen. In a session where you can say, well, wait a minute, I don't understand that. And that can be some dialogue. But you see, we come at the 11 o'clock service, and if the preacher hoops, we say, boy, that old boy sure did preach. You need to know what God is saying to you. Amen. God is telling you as clearly as he can, he loves you. And God is saying that because I love you, I have expectations for you that you will be the best that you can be. Amen. God never intended for us, as I said, to dig in the dirt with chickens. God wants us to soar with the eagles. And then when I look closely, amen, Matthew 9:36-38 tells me that a disciple is committed to world evangelism. Amen. When you're saved, you want other folk to be saved. Amen. When you get to heaven, you want all that everybody you know to be in heaven with you. Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. Amen. You want heaven to be populated with folk that you know. Okay, let me hurry. Number five, amen, a disciple loves others as Christ loves them. Now let me just drop this one on you, because I want to read this one to you. Because see, folks say, show me, and I want to show you. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, and verses 34-35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And so the test of your love is, does it measure up to the love that Christ had for us? Uh-huh. Then he says in verse 35, are you there? By this, what's this? The love that you have. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Our love differentiates between disciples and non-disciples. A disciple can love without being like them. It's easy to love folk who love you, folk who do things for you. It's easy. But what about folk who don't love you? What about folk who mess with you? What about folk who despitefully, the Bible said, despitefully use you and abuse you? What about that? Can you love them? The Bible says that we are to love them as well. Amen. I know it's hard, but we can't do it without the indwelling Holy Spirit. But you can't be a disciple unless then there is the indwelling Holy Spirit. He has to be in there. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Amen. 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 Now, the question then begs to be asked, are disciples born or made? Truly regenerate believers are technically disciples from the moment of spiritual birth. True believers are followers of Christ. You want to know whether somebody's really a believer or not? See if they're following Christ. Amen. And they will show some signs. True disciples live lives that reflect observable evidence of their discipleship. You can see it because they show you in what they do. Amen. They are the ones who know how to come to church. They're the ones who know how to tithe. They're the ones who know how to get along with other folk. Amen. Have you ever wondered how come some folk have trouble with everybody, can't get along with anyone, and then they say that them folk ain't no good? Have you ever considered maybe you the problem? Amen. If you can't get along with anybody, maybe it's not them folk. All right, I'm almost done. So what does the Lord say to us? And I'm almost finished. What does the Lord say to us? Well, let's go back and look at the text again. See what the Lord says in verse number 8. He tells us that we are to continue in the word. Amen. The word ought to be sweet to you. You ought to find joy in studying his word. You ought to find joy in hearing what the Lord has to say. But most of all, you ought to find joy in obeying what God has said. And because you know that if you appropriate truth to your life, you know that that truth will set you free. Too many of us, we are bound by schisms, by habits, by all kinds of stuff. Amen. We need to be freed from that. We need to be freed to love without dissimulation. You know, one of the problems that, as I said, it's easy to love folk who look like you. Amen. But when the Lord sets you free, amen, amen, you are not ethnic bound. Amen. You are humanity bound. When you really love the Lord, amen, bad people are bad people, but they are made in the likeness and image of God, and I'm going to love them because God has ordained for me to love them. When I know that I know that I know that God is God, amen, I have no problem doing what God has said. Amen. Because he is God. Amen. I heard David Jeremiah said some folk, when they talk about their God, amen, their little God that directs them. And, you know, people want their God to be to them what they want him to be. Amen. David Jeremiah said, really, he is no God, because our God is the divine creator of the universe. He's sovereign. We can't tell him. He tells us. Amen. When he tells us, we obey him. Part of the problem is we want a God that will go along with whatever we go along with. Amen. I want God to be understanding because I'm dating another man. Amen. I want a God that loves me because I'm disobedient to him. When he tells me to do X, Y, and Z, then I will say, but you know, the Lord understands. And the truth of the matter is, he does understand. Amen. He does understand. And the Lord will bring you under divine discipline. And when the Lord takes you to the woodshed, you know you've been to the woodshed. Amen. The Lord get your mind right. He knows how to get you, amen, where you ought to be. Lord, keep me in your keeping. Do not allow me to get caught up in myself, because being in myself is not where I want to be. But I know that you loved me while I was yet a sinner. And if you loved me while I was a sinner, how much more do you love me now that I'm in the family of God? Amen. If you love me, continue in my word. But more than continuing in the word is also knowing the truth. And then I will allow the truth to set me free. I'm free from all of the isms that church folk belong to. Amen, amen. Well, you know, you got to do X, Y, and Z. No, all I got to do is love Jesus and obey him. When I obey him, he makes all things well. Have I got a witness? As I come to a close, I want you to know that the God that you serve, amen, he's an awesome God. There is no God like our God. The God that we serve created us, and he created us in his likeness and his image. The God that we serve stands sovereign in this universe. Amen. There is none that can be compared to him. Oh, I wish I had somebody that knows what I'm talking about. Amen. You start thinking about all the good things of life, the cruise you took and the car you drive. But when you think about the God that loved you, and he loved you too much to let you stay, amen, where you were, he sent his only begotten son that you might be redeemed and reclaimed. I don't know whether it's good news to you, but it blesses my soul that the God of the universe loved me so much that he came to be where I am. Have I got a witness here? Amen. It would be one thing if God loved me from afar off and never made himself known to me. But God made himself known to me, the Bible said, because he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned that sin in the flesh. Amen. The thing that I want to rejoice is, yes, I make mistakes. Yes, I blow it from time to time. And when the deceiver, the adversary, goes before God to accuse me, look at old no good Amos. See what he's doing. Look what he's thinking. But the father says, I can't see no good Amos because I see him through the blood. And when I look through the blood, everything looks good. I don't know whether that's good to you or not, but it's good news to me. I've been washed in the blood. I am in the family of God. My question to you is, do you know him? Have you tried him? Are you a possessor of his word? Now the problem is, some of us say, yes, I am a possessor. Yes, some of us say we are possessors, but the truth of the matter is, we are professors. We like to talk about how good the Lord is, but the truth of the matter is, when you possess him, he's living on the inside of you. It's not the words that emanate from my mouth, but it's the life that I live before him about him. Amen. You know there's a reality in serving the true and living God. Amen. You can hit me on one side. Have I got a witness here? The Bible said you smite me on the one side. And what do? I don't fight back, but I turn the other side. Amen. Get a good shot at me. Amen. If the first one didn't do it, get a good shot. Well, you sue me in the law and you take my tunic. Amen. Let him have your coat also. That's just right. Slip out and give it to him. What are you saying? I'm saying a disciple will emanate. He will show the living God in his life, in her life. You can see Jesus. I'm closing here, but I want you to know, as the right Reverend Adrian Lara says, look at Jesus. When they see how you live, they ought to say, look at Jesus. You can't do it unless Jesus lives in your life. Have I got a witness here? But you see, folk act crazy. Folk act funny, but if Jesus is in your life,
The money might be funny and folk might be crazy, but everything is all right. I love the Lord. He heard my cry.
Pitied every groan. If there's one here today who's out of the ark of safety, amen. Don't be a professor, be a